The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button. Hello and welcome to Table Talk, our special monthly program here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, in which we are joined in the studio by one of our local bishops. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our engineer is Dan Deely. He's also our producer, and we are most fortunate again to welcome back into our studio our esteemed guest, His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop Danilo, welcome again back to The Rock. Christ is risen. Christos voskres.
Thank you. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen.
And Bishop, you were with us about 3 months ago, and we had a discussion at that time of many important things, including what was just the beginning of the war in Ukraine. And obviously, we'll talk about that. But before we begin our discussion, let's start with a prayer.
As we are in this beautiful season of Easter, let us start with that troparion that we already greeted each other, and we will just recite this beautifully. Christ is risen from the dead, conquering death by death, and to those in the tombs giving life, and he granted us life everlasting. Let us bow to his on third day resurrection.
Amen. Bishop Danilo, again, welcome back. This is the first time you've been with us in about 3 months, and as we said, when you were with us back then, the war in Ukraine had just started, and we had some preliminary discussions of what might happen. 10-plus weeks later, we're recording this program in early May, and it's going to be broadcast in mid-May, and we have gone to a point now in Ukraine where I don't know if any of us imagined how deadly, how bloody, and how crazy it would get, and it brings tears to people's eyes. I know that it does, to those who are Ukrainians, born there, descendants of Ukrainians, people of your many parishes here in the Midwest and across the U.S., yourself included, your priests, the clergy, and to all people of goodwill. They're looking at this, Bishop, and they're saying, I cannot believe this. War crimes, atrocities, the suffering, and all that sort of thing. You recently came back from there. You said that, like us, you looked at these images and saw them in the videos and on television and online and just had to go. Tell us about that. What made you just have to go to Ukraine and to the Polish border there?
Well, you mentioned that it's amazing for us Christians, for the citizens of the world in a 21st century, to see in the heart of Europe. Keep in mind, geographically, Ukraine is a center of Europe, if you look at the entire continent, to see this atrocity, as you named it. War never helps anyone. But perhaps that Lenten season, we just went with those days throughout the land from, you know, end of February, basically, until the Holy Week and Easter, we walk with those people who are suffering and being crucified, we may say, in Ukraine. And if God is at least showing us something, it gave us opportunity to ask ourselves, what is really important in our lives? Because perhaps here in Cleveland, we don't suffer that war the same way, but people were able to respond. They said, perhaps, you know, my dreams, my hopes for a new car, a new house or vacation is not as important as my two children or my mother or grandmother who is by herself. Let me give her a call and say, Mom, I love you. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for bringing me to this nation or being born here. That's the values that we are once again reminded by that war in Ukraine, that are some universal truth and rights of human beings. And keep in mind, Ukrainians today are fighting for the same principle that our beloved nation was created: life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They did not attack Russia. They just wanted to be a peaceful member of the European society. And for those principles, they're giving life. And perhaps we have to remind ourselves that once upon a time, not that long ago, our forefathers in America also gave and spilled blood for the freedoms that we now can hold.
You mentioned that the conscience of the world was awakened, and that it's extraordinary, given the fact that many nations of the world have their own agendas, and you don't usually see large groups of them united. But in this case, Russia's invasion and war against Ukraine, many of them were united in something in the conscience of the people, the citizens, and even some of the governments was awakened up.
You know, for those of us listeners, perhaps who listen already for a few years and you are in your golden age of your life, you probably remember still the Soviet Union. And at that time, in a sense, the entire universe was on some sort of scaffolding. You are either with the West, or you are with the satellites, or with the former Soviet Union. And of course, we didn't even know what is happening in Soviet Union. We didn't know about Stalin. We didn't know about all the atrocities, you know, that he did when he came to power during the war, after war. Only those, perhaps, who were able to flee or had family knew a little bit about this. But today, we can see those images. We can see what is happening. And world, once again, I think, is dividing between those who believe in truth, like you said, those who still have conscience, and those who wish to grab. Just grab more and more. Somebody wisely recently said that problem of the communism was that we never had a Nuremberg trial as we had for the Nazi. Today, any place in the world, be it in Cleveland, in New York, in Moscow, KU, Paris, if you would by any chance say that you are sympathizing with Nazis, you'll be taken from the picture right away. You cannot teach, you cannot probably hold a position at work. We don't have any statues of Hitler. But unfortunately, with Stalin and that communism and social teaching, nobody after war, and especially after the fall of Soviet Union, put the entire system on trial. And perhaps today we are reaping the fruits of that. And I hope that at least today, for the sake of those who would listen to that radio 50 years from now, and maybe in online format, somebody would say, let me see what they were talking in May of 2022. We'll be able to reflect and say, I'm happy that a few good men and women stood up and they looked evil into eyes and name it and tried to take it away from the universe in which we live.
You're right. If one was to say they were a supporter of the Nazis today, you would be excluded from everything, socially and politically, every aspect of your life. If you say you're a communist and sympathize with them in many circles in the West, you're enlightened and you're a hero. But that's not the point of our conversation here. When you went to Ukraine, Bishop Danilo, you actually went to pretty much your hometown, which is a city called Przemyśl, which is right on the border of Ukraine and Poland. You were born and raised there before you came to the United States. But that city, that town, is the gateway, right, where most of those refugees coming out of Ukraine were. So when you got there, what was that like when you went back, say, home and saw this with your eyes?
You know, the first you mentioned what took me, you know, to finally make that step. One, to help them, as you know, all the communities, be it Ukrainian Catholic, Ukrainian Orthodox communities here in greater Cleveland area and throughout the United States, but anyone who is a good friend, and I believe the entire United States are now, every person is a good friend of Ukraine, try to help. You know, the number of donations we received, the number of humanitarian aid that we were trying to deliver to those people. As of today, to my estimation, we probably have 11 million people out of 40 million who moved from eastern part to western part of Ukraine. That's quarter of population. Could you imagine 80 million of US citizens moving from northeast, let's say to the Mexico border, seeking the shelter and peacefulness, if God forbid something happened in our neck of woods, then we know that 3 million people cross into Poland and they found home over there. So during the Lent, we often claim and proclaim that you should have open heart to those who are less fortunate, you know, who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are stranger in the land. This year, God gave us opportunity to practice this. And I have to honestly say that both Ukrainian community in Poland as well as the Polish community really responded with open heart. There is not even one shelter. There are temporary shelters where you stay for 2 days and then you receive a permanent housing. What I saw in the eyes of those people, which surprised me, because the TV cameras are showing, you know, the thousands of people moving. Usually it's a few thousand people crossing that border a day. They told me that at the height, in the beginning of March, there was almost 40,000 people crossing by foot from Ukraine. And you can cross as long as you have a piece of paper saying your name, you know, birth certificate with no pictures that would allow you. Of course, you are fleeing. You have no time to search for your passport or perhaps your home is destroyed. So they allow them to come, but there is kindness in their life. I didn't see anyone pushing. I didn't see anyone trying to take a first place. If you are elder, and keep in mind, only women, children, and elder are allowed to leave Ukraine. Selective service of Ukraine is forbidding men age 18 through 60 to leave Ukraine. They are required to stay and probably or hopefully defend the nation.
So the women and children mostly, and I know you interacted with the children. Obviously, it probably was a relief to them to have someone come from the United States who speaks their language, who is a bishop, who is from there. What are some of the things you and individual women and children talked about when you encountered them as refugees?
First, keep in mind, the family was split.
Yeah.
So if it's a regular unit, you have, you know, husband, wife, a few kids. I met a family from Kyiv, which they live right outside of Kyiv in a place that was shelled as one of the first places. They have that beautiful sign which says City of Kyiv. And of course, the Russian forces entering, they wanted to destroy that sign. And so the older son is staying with the father in Ukraine, and that lady with two children crossed the border and was planning to go to some friend in Warsaw. They're all waiting to come back. And we know in that last 60 days already, a number of them returned to Ukraine. There is no reason for them to be abroad because in reality, their husbands and sons and fathers and a number of women are fighting to preserve that land. So I saw a dignity of those people. You know, they on the other hand, could you imagine leaving your house in a half hour and the only thing you can take is carry-on suitcase with you? Because that's what they had. And if they left in February, there was still winter. Yeah. And today it's spring, so society at large is trying to provide them. I was pleasantly surprised how much support they are receiving when they cross abroad. They have cell phones, for example. For a month, a free cell phone so we can call the loved one back home. Second, children were placed in a regular schools, especially the first, you know, 1 through 8 grades and high school. They have ability of studying online and finishing this academic year. So let's pray for them that they can be reunited. Let's pray for Ukraine, for peace, because each day we are losing the life. We saw the image of Aleppo, Syria, for example, and we thought, oh, and even as American society, we probably did not understand exactly what is happening, what is the relationship between different groups over there. But today we are seeing our European brothers, and majority of our nation has a European roots in America, living through the same experience. The city of Mariupol, which is the name City of Mary, is basically looking like Aleppo, Syria, and the world is just watching.
The images are terrifying at some times. I saw some pictures and some video of you with some kindergarten children, and you were sitting there with these kids, and looked like in one of their classes. These are refugee children. What was that like? You had mentioned something about them singing a song about hoping that the war ends.
I was wondering what I can take with me. You know, of course, we took some funds to help them, for those who are refugees, as well as for those who are in Ukraine today. Keep in mind that 11 million people in Western Ukraine needs to be fed. So that community that is local over there is not just wondering about their well-being, but as well as those who are now guests, in a sense, or refugees in that area. So we brought some funds, and that gives opportunity for me to thank everyone, you know, who donated through our Eparchy, stjoseph@eparchy.com. Thank you for your kindness and donation. There was a lot of people from outside of our Ukrainian Catholic community who opened their hearts and as well as their financial support for them. So I walked into that classroom, and you have, of course, you know, 5-year-old, 4-year-old kids, and I brought them toys and candies. You know, that's one thing. You know, children are resilient. You know, they can be joyful when they see joy. Of course, they cry when they are under pressure or they see harm. The unfortunate thing was that they had to sing a song for me, "Lord, let us hope that the war ends, that we can go home." And I said, they probably don't even understand the words. They just enjoy the melody. Or even more heartbreaking was a 9-year-old young boy who sang a song, "Do not cry for me, Mom, I'm going to war." You're not supposed to sing those songs. You know, we have American soldiers for the last 20 years because of the harm that was made to our nation with 9/11, you know, fighting across the world, and they are coming back, they are professional, and they have their own struggle and trials and tribulations. And here the nation of 40 million is going through the same experience, including children and women that are in a combat zone.
Yeah, 40 million people essentially living in a combat zone.
Indeed.
All of them. We're talking with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop is a regular guest of ours here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We are very happy that you're with us. We'll continue our conversation with the Bishop in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and our guest is Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. We've been talking about his experience recently visiting Ukraine and the border area of Ukraine and Poland, where he is from, exactly, where, as Bishop mentioned, 40,000 refugees a day at some point were flowing out of Ukraine because of the Russia's war against Ukraine. I wanted to make mention of the Patriarch of the Ukrainian Catholic Church, His Beatitude, Sviatoslav Shevchuk. Every day, he has not left Ukraine. He has been with the people. He has issued a very both inspirational and factual message from his see. I wanted you to talk, Bishop, please, about the role of the Catholic faith for those in Ukraine. And I suppose it would also include those of the Orthodox clergy as well. Our shared Christian faith, how has that had a role in these first 10 weeks, 3 months of this war, giving some kind of hope to the people of Ukraine?
You know, perhaps God maybe made Ukrainians the way they are. You know, most of those who are priests today, especially at least those who are in their, late 40s, they still remember communism, perhaps as children, but they do. So at that time, Catholic Church was underground in Ukraine, and you had to pray at home, you had to create that network, and you were with the people. You know, the Divine Liturgy, the Mass didn't happen in a cathedral, but it happened in somebody's home, sometimes in the villages where a few families could come together. And His Beatitude is a child of that generation. He entered the seminary exactly when our church was coming out from underground. What I'm pleased to say that none of our bishops, including the city of Kharkiv, that one that was shelled initially, none of our bishops or priests left their pastoral assignments. some too heroic, you know, stand. There was a priest in Kyiv Archeparchy, as perhaps our listeners know, both Orthodox and Eastern Catholics are allowed to marry as priests, and the wife of the priest gave birth during that time of occupation. Keep in mind that some of those portions in, of Ukraine, especially outside of Kyiv and the eastern parts, were for almost a month under the Russian occupation. So those people had to live with soldiers. And like you mentioned, His Beatitude is sending a message. The priests are sending the message. We talk about, you know, the conversion. And of course, we should start the pastoral conversion with ourselves, with bishops, priests, those who are clerics. But
we talked about this last time you were on the radio.
How much more conversion you can do if not to celebrate the Mass, Divine Liturgy, in a basement, in a shelter, or perhaps in a belly of the underground subway system in Kyiv. Priests were going over there to celebrate, and they are still in some places doing this. City of Kharkiv has a beautiful metro system, but of course, because of the beginning of war, it's shut down because people are taking shelter in those places.
What are some of the things that we can do? You know, obviously, people have been very generous here in Northeast Ohio and across the United States. You mentioned your website, stjosaphateparchy.com, and there are links there on how to make secure donations in which they will go directly to the relief services of suffering people. So we'd encourage our listeners to visit St. Josaphat Eparchy, stjosaphateparchy.com. People have been at one of your local parishes here at Pokrova Parish on Broadview Road, have been medical and other supplies. Their hall there turned into like a vast warehouse in which donated goods were being sorted and then shipped to Ukraine. What else could we do, Bishop Danilo? So many people pray, but so many people feel helpless.
You are never hopeless. We are, as Christians, as Catholics, people of hope and people of the new beginnings. You know, after crucifixion was never the last word. There was resurrection of Christ, and prayer is important. I'm still with the friends of priests in Ukraine. As you know, I'm overseeing the seminary formation for our church, and five major seminaries with over 700 seminarians are in Ukraine. And there are in formation now, as we speak, even during the time of war. And prayer is important. The young men who are at the front fighting, they say, please thank people for prayers, both in Ukraine and abroad. I believe if somebody is praying now as they listen to us, or if you have a chance to say a prayer for that young boy or young girl, because they say they see a rocket coming. From the military perspective, it should land in one place, but for one reason or another, it's missing the target or it's not blowing and killing the people. And those young men believe that it's prayers of people that does this. You know, they say during the war, there's not too many atheists, you know, yes, in the front lines. You know, you believe in something. You may not believe in the same God or experience that God the same way, but you know that there is a power above you. So let's hope that those wounds would teach them to be a better people. As we experienced this from what I'm told by my uncles, by parishioners, after the Second World War, America was such a peaceful, beautiful, kind, truth-telling, community-living country. You know, they said you didn't have to lock the doors in the neighborhoods.
You're right, Bishop. That was the era in which I grew up. And people ask now, was there ever such an America like that? And I said, there was.
And we can come back to that America. It's up to us human beings. If we agree to once again live by truth, by kindness, by helping each other, trust me, you will feel much better in that country. So prayer is one step. Second, tell the truth. And I'm happy, probably we all see this, that the world is turning with one eye. You know, one nation started that war, perhaps one man even, and one man can end, you know, the blood and suffering. You know, in a 21st century, you don't need to grab lands. Russia has, what, seven or 17 time zones in their entire nation. They have more land than any other country. They are blessed with the natural resources. We'll be more than happy to live with them and help them. Ukraine, their neighbor, you know, for 1,000 years we lived together. Part of the history is common for us. We never invaded Russia, and Ukraine never intended or will intend. But, you know, the wounds of war, it will take a long time to heal them.
You mentioned about the truth, Bishop. It is our obligation as Catholics, as Christians, to seek the truth and to understand the truth. The ultimate truth, of course, being our Lord God and Savior Jesus. But there are truths here on earth that we must find and discover and adhere to. In this war, I'm afraid that a good number of Catholics and other Christians have been persuaded by what is really propaganda, that Ukraine nation is or was a Nazi nation, and the Ukrainian people were persecuting the Russians. This propaganda, particularly as a news reporter, you investigate sources and you look for patterns and you see who's saying it and how does it comport with the real truth, you know, on the ground. Of course, this is all propaganda, but you say it, keep saying it and saying it, and some people believe this. Bishop, I believe we have to tell our faithful people that they have to really discover the real truth and understand that in cases like this, there can be persuasive propaganda, but as true believers, we're bound to seek the truth. And I think you probably have seen that as well, this distortion of what is really happening.
Remember, we start our discussion from Nazis and basically them being condemned. So if you call that name anywhere in the world and you claim that now Ukrainians are Nazi, of course, what you can do? Nazi is monster. You can kill him. So that's what they are using. You know, keep in mind they are persecuting and leveling to ground cities that were 98% Russian-speaking. We just saw yesterday images of the leftover small communities leaving, you know, that Mariupol. There is just one place in Mariupol that is still standing, you know, with the Ukrainian soldiers guarding that location. And when they ask people in Russian where you want to go, they said Ukraine. You know, Ukraine was always a multilingual society. Keep in mind, we should also remember that the largest community of Jews before the Second World War actually lived on the border between Ukraine and Poland.
Yes.
And they were at home.
Yeah.
They were at home over there. There are Armenians over there. Now in Crimea, who is persecuted is actually the Muslims, because historically they were part of those lands from Turkey. So Ukraine always was and is, you know, a nation that is trying to live with others. Talking about the truth, perhaps for us, parents, grandparents, tell the children. You know, you never know. Look at your own life. Even if you are 99 today and you listen to us, you can close your eyes and you'll be 17, 9, or 19. In your mind, your mom, your dad, grandparents, your neighbors told you about the universal truth. Perhaps you didn't want to listen at that time, but then whenever you had to make a major decision, that voice of somebody who cared for you came to the front and you were able to make a hopefully rightful decision. We have to do it once again. We have responsibility as parents. We have responsibility as church. We have responsibility as community. You know, universities and schools not always will teach what we wish them to teach.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple minutes ago, briefly, about hope. How does one find hope here in this madness, in war, in the deaths of thousands and tens of thousands of people? We began that discussion the last time you were here, Bishop, and we were still in the Great Fast in Lent. We talked a little bit about the thoughts you promulgated in the hope to which the Lord calls us, which we discussed in depth, how to bring hope to daily life and witnessing and all that sort of thing. So now we're in the Easter season, the season of hope, like you said, the resurrected Christ. And yet, in our nation, in our world, there are many things which do not look hopeful. So I think we should, just for at least a minute or two, give our listeners, from our Catholic perspective, how we can actually have this true hope in the midst of what we see happening before our eyes.
Well, first of all, we are not at home here. We are on pilgrimage. From the day we were born to the day that we will close our eyes, we are basically called to the heavenly home, that home that was prepared before we were all created. And Christ our Lord came to once again reopen those gates, the gates of paradise. His suffering, his death, and ultimately his resurrection allowed us to once again walk into that heavenly Jerusalem. Second, probably we should remind ourselves that we have to spread that good news. Look at those 11 and a few women. If they, after resurrection, when they met Christ, just kept that good news to themselves, well, we will not have what we today call a Catholic Church, the deposit of faith, the tradition, you know, over 2,000 years. That's what our parents, that's what our grandparents did. Today, it's our responsibility. In a sense, you have two major responsibilities in life. Give life to the next generation, those who are blessed to be called to be fathers and mothers. And second, to pass the faith. So, and that faith is always with the hope that, you know, tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow we will be with God. And how often today we can probably do this by serving less fortunate, by the diaconia, by stewardship. You know, when we hear stewardship, especially Catholic listeners, you know, we think, okay, if I give a donation to my parish, they'll be fine. We are very thankful. Without your donations, we will not be able to sustain. You know, the government is not providing us with the funds, but donation is just one portion of this. When we talk about stewardship, we talk about time, talent, and treasure. So we should offer our time, and doesn't have to be in a basement of the church, but in a community, and offer our talent. And I will maybe even today already call on our great community here in Northeast Ohio, especially with such a beautiful medical facilities. When war ends, those people will need your help. Financially, yes. I hope that the larger community of the world will be willing to come and help to rebuild the physical structures. But we will need a help of time and talent of those who know how to walk with those who are wounded. So if anyone wishes to do something good for the future, think about Ukraine, and perhaps you can come and help. There's a lot of younger people who speak English as well as others, and you will definitely know that you are contributing to something great. And we all know, it's not when you receive that you have a joy, it's when you give it back.
I'm glad you planted that seed, Bishop, because 8 years ago, when this war actually started, when the Russians seized Crimea, there were a number of Ukrainian soldiers and others who were badly injured and wounded, and there were some Ukrainian-American physicians and other medical people who brought them here to Cleveland and got them the best treatment in the world at the major Cleveland hospitals. And so you're right. Well, we don't know when this will end, but there will be so many people desperately in need. And yeah, if you're listening and somehow connected with the medical community, I would say that's a wonderful thing to think about, that seed that Bishop Danilo has planted, and how we can be share this, you say, time, talent, and treasure. Cleveland, some of the best medical facilities in the world, and that would be a wonderful thing. And I know some of those fellows who came over here for treatment went to your cathedral parish and other churches and were wonderfully welcomed. That was not that long ago.
And we also know that, you know, now more and more Ukrainians saying that, you know, it's of course time-consuming and also, you know, funds-consuming to bring them here, but perhaps some doctors wish to go over there.
Sure.
And teach other young doctors how to do it. You know, we spread then the wealth and the wisdom of medical profession across the world.
You were mentioning about in our Easter season, the what we call the myrrh-bearing women, who are the ones who first discovered that Christ had arisen, and they spread the word, and what would happen if they just kept it to themselves. But there's a certain beauty in the Eastern Catholic churches, the Ukrainian Catholic Church, in this Easter season. Each Sunday has a different theme. Begins with Thomas Sunday, you know, the one who doubted. There's a lesson for us there, the myrrh bearers, to spread the word. And then we have the Sunday of the paralytic. Very briefly, what would we learn from the Sunday of the paralytic?
That God is able to cure us as long as we ask him. Remember, in a encounter between Christ and the one who is seeking help, he always asks for one thing. Do you believe I can do it? And if the answer is yes, he's doing this. But even more, in one of the Sundays, of course, we cannot put in a Easter season all the beautiful readings of the New Testament. But in one of the Sundays, we have also imaged that not the person who was paralyzed, but those who carry him. Jesus is answering, because of the faith of those men, please stand up and walk. And here is once again a reminder for us as a church that we have responsibility for each other. If somebody is weak, help to carry him. Walk with him. Do not allow us to be by ourselves. We are not created as islands. We need each other.
And this is so applicable in what is happening today, both in Ukraine and in our country. So many people who need someone to walk with them and to have this charitable approach. We're going to continue our discussion with Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, right after we take one more brief break. Back on Table Talk here on The Rock with Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Just before the break, Bishop, we were talking about the wonderful Sundays in the Eastern Catholic liturgical calendar that follow Easter, Thomas Sunday, the myrrh-bearing women. You talked about the paralytic, and then you come upon the Sunday of the Samaritan woman. What lesson is there for us in that?
Well, sometimes we jokingly say it's, the Hollywood gospel, because if you remember from that story, first of all, Samaritan woman, Samaritan and Jews didn't mix.
Yeah.
So she's encountering him in another place by the Jacob well. And those of us, even in Northeast Ohio, you know, when summer comes, you don't stand at 12 noon outside because the heat and humidity would probably, you know, play a role in that. But he encounters her at that high noon. Why? Because she has something that she is hiding from the society at large. So she's coming to that well, probably to get water or perhaps for other reasons. You know, some theologians have an interesting approach. She didn't have anything to take that water. Maybe she was meeting
someone.
Over there. But she's meeting our Lord. And of course, Lord is saying to her, give me water. And she's having that encounter with him and, you know, says, wow, I would give you if you knew what I can offer, you will not be thirsty just today, but I can give you a water which will run through you everlastingly. And finally, she opens. She opens to him. She's willing to say the truth. And that's probably what the Easter is teaching us also, that we have to be, once again, as Lent led us to, you know, open our hearts, penance, you know, and fasting.
Almost like confession for
Indeed.
Her, right? To the Lord himself.
If you look, you mentioned about the Thomas Sunday, just briefly in the beginning, those 11 disciples, they're hiding in that upper room, definitely because of, you know, what is happening with Christ, but I think they were also hiding because they had guilt. They just abandoned their teacher. And what Christ is coming and doing initially, he's almost absolving them. He's allowing Thomas to put his finger in the wounds, his entire hand in a place where he was pierced, you know, and then he's giving them peace, what you receive through confession. And of course, we know what happens after that moment. They are going, rejoicing, and spreading the good news. So all of those Sundays are once again teaching us that repentance, and then you are sent off. You are free from whatever is holding you in chains, be it physical, and of course, in the Bible, physical is always related to a spiritual illness. And you are free of that and start a new life. You know, a woman who claims that she had 5 husbands, and this one that she is with is actually not her husband. And keep in mind, longevity at that time was not that long. And he's saying to her, and with joy, she's going back. She was hiding from society, and now she's running to the village and saying, I want you to meet somebody who is Messiah. It's the one that I think was promised to each and every one of us.
In just that few minutes encounter with Jesus, she went from being hiding, depressed, sinful, to being cleansed, and then telling everyone. And then the final one before ascension is the man born blind. And this is a very long account, but I think it's worthwhile, Bishop, for you to, you know, let our listeners know what in the interpretation that we would give it in the Eastern Catholic Churches, what is the significance of this gospel of the man born blind?
You know, there's that struggle. Remember, Jesus is curing him, and of course, authority at that time are questioning that, how it happened. You know, was it really blind, or perhaps he was just, you know, in a major city? Keep in mind, as today, you know, major cities are attracting a lot of people who are sometimes living off kindness of others, you know, and they're calling the parents. Was it true that, you know, he was born blind, you know, and parents are afraid, you know, if you remember in that gospel story, because of course they are of the Jewish origin. So on one hand, they are afraid of authorities. On the other hand, they know that son was, you know, blind. Now he's cured. And there is that man called Jesus, you know, Messiah, who is doing this. So they struggle themselves. And of course, they try to pass that answer. They say, well, ask him. He's adult. He can tell you. But then in the end, we are once again seeing the grace of Christ present in those lives. And that's probably its most important. And as you already mentioned, those Sundays lead us to another important event, Ascension. And it probably will take longer than our segment here, you know, to talk about the three major events, you know, the crucifixion, resurrection, Ascension, and Pentecost in just one segment. Some theologians are claiming that those events perhaps were not spread as we know them today in the liturgical life. But on Ascension, and we read that passage twice, right after Easter, there's a beautiful scene. Think about those disciples. Good Friday, they are afraid, they run, Peter is three times even denying Christ. Then once again, hope, they see a risen Christ, he's with them. And then once again, he's telling them, I have to leave, you know, roller coaster of emotions. And at that scene, as Christ is ascending into heaven, in a Bible, and I'm inviting if anyone wishes to come and see it in the icons, in our mosaic, there is the image from the Acts of Apostles that two men in white standing above, and usually we depict angels this way, are saying to those disciples who are once again looking in the skies with amazement and saying, okay, what now? How long do we have to wait for him? He's saying, the angels or the two men are saying, men of Galilee, why are you standing here? Just go. And probably today, to those who listen to us as we prepare for that Feast of Ascension, the Lord is saying the same thing. You know, men and women of greater Cleveland area or Northeast or US, if you're listening online to our program, why you are standing here? Just go and tell that story to somebody next to you, somebody who perhaps was baptized but no longer practices the faith, somebody who maybe never was baptized. It's our responsibility to go out and preach the good news of risen Christ. And that's what, for the 2,000 years, year in and year out, we as a church are telling, sometimes with greater success, sometimes with lesser, but in the end, is the Church of Christ. He's the foundation, and we all should have a hope that that church will stay longer than we in our human lives.
When we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension and then Pentecost in our liturgical calendar, it means that in our secular calendar, we're coming to summertime. And Bishop, the school year will be ending. We're going to transition to summer for kids and families. And honestly, this is 2022. This will probably be the first, you could say, normal summer in 3 years. So maybe people are going to really feel like getting out, going on vacation, doing something, going back to normal, as you would say. However, you know, we say this every summer with whoever comes on our program here, it's not a time to forget about your faith. It could be easy to get caught up in all those activities. Kids are playing ball, families are on vacation, mom and or dad are home because they got a vacation, and, you know, it's easy. So maybe some ways that you can keep the faith life going while you're having a good summer.
Well, first of all, I would say enjoy that summer. Like you said, it's almost a third summer that, let's hope, will be quasi-normal this year. Second, let us take opportunity of being together. You mentioned about children being off school, parents sometimes having more time to be with them. Use that opportunity. Ask the children, what is important in your life, you know? How are you doing? And if you are father, mother, or grandparents, you know how to do it. I don't have to teach you, you know. We all had the grandpa and grandma or mom and dad who knew how to ask you an important question. Or perhaps sometimes don't ask. Just tell them something that would bring a joy to their heart. That's the time that we Christian and Catholics can really grow in faith. Show that faith as experience. That includes our vacation time. Whatever place you are going in US or perhaps if you are trying abroad, there is definitely a Catholic church. I understand probably on Sunday morning you're not planning to be for that 8 o'clock liturgy in the morning, but there is a liturgy at 11. There is a liturgy at 1. And if you as a community make that step to go and attend the Eucharist, the Divine Liturgy, the Mass on that Sunday, that day will look differently. There will be something that you are preparing. Then you can maybe as a community go together for some event instead of just spending that all day on beach or perhaps, you know, doing something else. And then by evening you will say, oh my God, another day is gone. So, you know, invest in, you know, as they say, summer with God, summer with Christ, you know, and there will be so many camps probably throughout our parishes. If you are not traveling, allow your children to come and maybe learn a little bit more about faith at the local places.
Well, you have youth days in June.
Yes, we do.
I think it's still on the calendar.
And we are planning to go to Pennsylvania. There is a beautiful cheese farm in Western PA. And last year, we just were able to go for a day. We were trying, you know, we were afraid to, with the planning to stay overnight. But they had a blast. And we are looking forward to a longer few days, you know, this June.
And that's also on the website, stjosephateparchy.com. And Bishop, real quickly, before we take the break, it'll be summer in Ukraine as well. And it's one that will be a summer that they haven't experienced since the Second World War. So we cannot neglect praying, no matter what we do this summer, for the people in Ukraine and keeping up that support as well. That just doesn't stop because our lives have changed in the summer.
You know, we don't think about this, but people are... There's shortage of food already, you know. And if you are watching TV, I don't even wish to retell those stories online. But you see that hitting the infrastructure places. So pray. Tell also the truth. I believe that, you know, in the last, like you said, you know, 3 months almost, the awareness of that war shifted. Where in the beginning, we just talk about the conflict. Today, we see that it's basically Ukraine fighting for the principles, as we said before, that we all live. So they are willing to spill the blood to preserve those principles for themselves, but also for us, to remind us about those important things. So try to keep and support their efforts as well. And let us say a prayer that end comes maybe as we speak, as we are online with and live with this program.
We're hearing from Bishop Bogdan Danilo, and we will wrap up things here on this edition of Table Talk when we return after one more brief break. Back here to wrap things up on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're with Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy in Parma. And Bishop, you were with us here not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, for our spirit drive, our pledge drive in the spring, and everyone welcomed you, and we're very grateful that you came in. Obviously, you've been with us many times here on Catholic Radio. It certainly appears that you are a believer in this kind of media as a ministry.
you'll be surprised how many people listen to radio. You know, our busy lives still require us to come from point A to point B, and most of the time we do it in a car. And even if you're not in a car, when you travel on a mass transit, you can listen to radio through different devices. So I'm very happy, and especially to those maybe who are traveling across the highways and are in our area. I know you'll be surprised. Those men who are truck drivers and women, they spend a lot of time listening to a good quality radio, and hopefully the Catholic radio is one of those stations that they listen. You know, how long you can listen to the same song, you know, on which is whatever the newest hit, but they do pray. They tell me they listen to the Bible. Some of them even have the entire New and Old Testament on recording. So they probably sometimes have more Lectio Divina than all of us together, because they spend those 8 hours in a truck and constantly the radio is reminding them about the presence of Christ.
Yeah, that was Mother Angelica's goal, was just little by little to touch people where they are and give instruction. And, you know, I must say that on Catholic radio here on The Rock, or wherever you happen to be, what Catholic radio station you're listening to, it's very instructive. Even people who are non-Catholics, Bishop, even some non-Christians, they say they just find it very, very enlightening. They learn. And so that's what it's about. We're also bound as Catholics to learn as much as we can about our faith. And like you said, while we're driving, we can learn. And we thank you again for being a proponent of this and for joining us from time to time here on our Catholic station.
You're welcome.
And we've just about run out of time for this edition of Table Talk. We thank you very much, Bishop, again for stopping in. You're always welcome. In light of all we've said, we'd ask you for a final prayer and for your blessing.
As we are approaching the time of Pentecost, let us say a prayer of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Advocate, Spirit of Truth, who are everywhere present and fill all things, Treasury of Blessing, Bestower of Life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all that defiles us, and a good one, save our souls. May the blessing of the Almighty God and the Holy Spirit, who is with us in the Church, be with you always, now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Table Talk here on The Rock, AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our thanks again to Bishop Bogdan J. Danilo, the Eparch of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our producer and engineer is Dan Dealey, and we thank you most of all for listening. Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.